while John Travolta was known for this show, he became more well known as being in the Timmy Time Love Song CD. Yes. That's where he caught his big break. Yep. Mm-hmm. It wasn't this Grease show or even Urban Cowboy.
Oh my goodness.
Sissy.
Or it was the Timmy Time Love Song CD.
Hi, this is Jay Stansel and I'm a big ass runner from Corbin, Kentucky. Home of Cumberland Falls and the last remaining Lumbo in the world. Welcome to the Big Ass Runner Podcast, where we entertain and encourage trail runners from all over the world. And now, here's your host, Jeff the Clydesdale Herald.
Well, way to go, Jay. A awesome intro and very informative. I had to look up what a moonbow was. Apparently, it is a lunar rainbow, exactly what you would think it would be. And apparently, you're right. The last one is in Kentucky. Congratulations. That's amazing. Well, thanks, Jay, for that awesome introduction. My name is Jeff Harrell. This is episode number 78 of the Big Ass Runner. We have a great show planned for you. We have part three of our three-part series on why I run. You'll love both of them. And the second one has a little twist to it. And then the second segment, we have the golden voice. He's back, the golden voice of Timmy Time, with special guest and special songs that he's singing this time. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a fun time. But before we get to that, I wanted to cover a few things. First of all, thanks for the great feedback on the Timmy Time Love Songs 2 CD set. It did sell out in record time. And in fact, I think it was 4 minutes. And I had a lot of people say that they could not get through. And unfortunately, that's because you could only get through if you have a rotary phone. And if you don't know what a rotary phone is, you may have to Google that bad boy to find out what that is. So yeah, unfortunately, if you did not have a rotary phone, you are not able to get through and order that amazing 2 CD love song set with the bonus CD with the awkward duets with the fantastic Clydesdale. So I wanted to cover that. And then secondly, you know, we love awesome reviews. It is the best way that you can support this show. And it's free. It's free. Just go onto Apple Podcast and leave us a written review. And I read them all here. And our friend Marty left us an awesome 5-star review. It says, I love this podcast. As a fellow Clydesdale, shout out. Parenthetically, he says, not that it's a prerequisite for enjoying the podcast, in parentheses. I find Jeff and Steven's humor, entertainment, and information perfect for keeping me motivated in trail running and life. Thanks, guys. Signed, Marty. Marty, thank you for that awesome, awesome review, and we appreciate the great feedback. We appreciate you leaving us a review. Thanks for the kind words. So please do that. If you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review, it's a free way to support the show.
Come on. Do it. Do it. Come on. Do it now.
And then finally, you know, I'm in marketing and something hit me the other day. I think I was watching football and I saw a commercial for a luxury car. And then I saw a commercial for one of those fancy mattresses that chains it. That changes firmness and temperature with the touch of a button. And I had this thought. It seems that here in the U.S., and I'm not going to call out other countries because I think this problem is particularly true here in the U.S. Not sure about Brisbane. I'm not sure about Latvia. You guys can let me know. But I feel like in the U.S., something that we are searching for, at least if you believe the commercials, is comfort. How can we make our lives as comfortable as possible? You know, there is reclining chairs at the movie theaters, and you also get a little blanket. I mean, we don't have to wait in line for popcorn. They'll bring it to you. We've tossed our suits and our dresses for leisure wear. I mean, I don't want to put on a tie anymore. It's uncomfortable. And look, I know there's times where it is perfectly fine to be comfortable. Believe me, I love the reclining chair at the movies. In fact, I don't think I can go back now that I've experienced the greatness of the reclining and even heated seats at the movies. But I wonder if comfort should be the thing that we are seeking. Because it seems to me, and I realize that this is not a novel idea, but it seems to me that growth happens when we're uncomfortable. So maybe comfort is not what we should be looking for, but instead we look for ways to become uncomfortable. Now, maybe I am preaching to the choir, because if anybody knows how to be uncomfortable, it is trail runners. But I wonder if we stop and consider and think about ways that we can grow by becoming uncomfortable. Maybe it's signing up for a race that is a bit longer distance than you are comfortable with. Maybe it's asking a question in a meeting at work when you can tell everyone else is afraid to ask. You know, maybe it's RSVPing for a party when you're an introvert and you won't know anybody there, but you do it anyway. Maybe it's asking for that extra project when you're already at a comfortable workload. For me, I've noticed that when I go to the gym, there are several machines that I'm very comfortable with. There's several lifts that I'm very comfortable with. So I end up doing those over and over. But I wonder if I would grow more by trying some new ones and maybe even pushing for that extra set or those extra reps. I think so. So I'm going to challenge myself, and I guess I am challenging the big ass runner herd as well. Look for ways to perhaps push yourself out of your comfort zone, get a little uncomfortable, and see if growth happens. I look forward to hearing how it goes. Well, with that, let's get going on episode number 78 of the Big Ass Runner. Well, I'm excited to share part three of our three-part series, Why I Run. It's our favorite segment. We've got two great ones today, one from Om Gandhi and one from CJ. CJ's is a little bit different. I'll talk about that here in a second, because it's really kind of a combo, Why I Run and my first trail race. But we love this because everyone's why is so interesting and so unique to them, but elements are certainly the same for a lot of us. We love to hear these. And I mentioned getting out of your comfort zone. If you would like to share your why I run, but you're a little bit nervous to do so, I've had several people who've done it who said they were a little nervous, but they're glad they did. Let's get out of our comfort zone. Let me know. I would love for you to share your why on a future episode. Well, with that, let's start with Om Gandhi. Here's Om's why I run.
Hey everybody, my name is Om Gandhi and I'm a big ass runner from La Palma, California. Thank you guys for having me on the show to talk about my why. I think my biggest why, aside from my own personal reasons that I'd like to share, is for charity, for a higher purpose. It's something that I learned from Rich Roll and Jay Shetty, and it's something that has helped me get through the toughest of times in my 100 milers and my 72 hour race. There's no way I would have enough internal motivation to do those races without serving a higher purpose. I recently did a 72-hour race, and we raised over $2,600 for Whitstone Family, which is a local LA charity that works with child abuse. But instead of separating the families and just giving the kids a safe place, they adopt entire family units and strengthen the families, because they realize that it's not just an issue with the family unit, it's generational trauma. So it's causes like that that give me a driving force when I'm struggling. And then, of course, there's a balance. There's my personal reasons too. I used to be obese. I was pre-diabetic when I was 18 years old, 250 pounds. I lost over 90 pounds and started running about 3.5 years ago with absolutely no fitness base. I was a totally sedentary person. And it's been a crazy journey ever since then. And I'm really just on this show and honored to be here so that I can share my story and my purpose to inspire people to be just like me. If you'd like to follow along with my journey, I have an Instagram page that's The Om Gandhi. That's The AUMGANDHI. The AUMGANDHI. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you guys, and I'm a big fan of your show, and I'm going to continue watching.
Well, thank you, Om. Great job on that. And I think your why illustrates what we hear a lot, which is, and I like how you actually described it as balance, that you're balancing that higher purpose or that reason kind of beyond yourself, that external reason, running for others. And by the way, Ridgestone family sounds amazing. Adopting whole family units, keeping the family together. I think that is amazing. I was blessed to be able to do some work down across the border in Mexico with an orphanage. And I got to see firsthand how really crippling it is when you fracture the family unit. And when we would see families come back together, how powerful that is. So I love what Ridgestone Families is doing. Love that. So I love the fact that you're balancing that higher purpose, that external kind of running for others, with that internal purpose, staying in shape, staying fit, you know, trying to lose that extra weight. Really, really cool. So thank you so much, Om, for sharing your why. Really, really enjoyed that. Well, now let's move to CJ. And CJ's story is a little bit of why I run. It's a whole lot of my first trail race, and it's a whole bunch of awesomeness. So with that, here is CJ's Why I Run.
Hey, this is CJ, and I am a big ass runner from, well, kind of all over right now. I'm nomadic and I live in a van, but I'm originally from Florida, and that is where I did my very first trail race, which I would love to share with you. So what you need to know is that I started running in July/August of 2020, never run before, said I was not a runner, running is not my thing, but I thought that's a little bit of a limiting belief. So let's go ahead and run. You know what? Let's run a marathon. Not a 5K, not a 10K, went straight to the marathon distance. So I start training for one at the end of January, and I'm so excited. I get to peak week about a month out, and it gets canceled. No worries. We find another one the next week that I'm able to run. But during the race, due to lightning and inclement weather, it gets cut to a half marathon. And I turned to my husband and I said, I'm signing up for a 50K. I have trained for this dumb distance and I want to be able to run it finally. My friend had been trying to convince me to sign up for this 50K, so I said, fine, let's go. It was on a trail, this 50K. So I start trail running for the very first time. And that's also when I started listening to the Big Ass Runner podcast. And I fell in love with it. I had no idea that trail running was even a thing. I love hiking and I love being out in nature, and it really ended up being so kismet that I was able to explore and run all over and also be out in nature. However, it was way harder than I thought it would be. Running in a swamp is no joke. There was mud. I saw gators sometimes. It was a wild time training for it. However, end of May, we get to the 50K. If you have never been in Florida at the end of May, let me just give you two words. Hot, humid. This race ended up being around mid 80s to 90s during the majority of the race, and it was like 98% humidity outside. It was miserable. The course had almost zero shade, and it was a 15-mile loop. No worries. They said right around mile 7, there'll be some water, and then there'll be water at the beginning of the loop too. So I said, great, no worries. I can carry as much as I need. That's where the aid stations will be. I was so psyched for these aid stations after listening to this podcast. I had heard great things. I was excited. So I'm running and we start out. It's beautiful out. The sun hasn't come out yet. And I'm running with this woman. She goes, oh yeah, this is my first 50K. I go, yeah, me too. She goes, yeah, I've run 13 marathons before. I'm like, oh my gosh, I am out of my league right now. But it's fine. I'm still running. And I get to this mile 7 aid station that isn't there. There is no aid station. So kind of looking at my watch, thinking maybe my mileage is off. I keep running. I've saved a whole bunch of Big Ass Runner podcasts for this ultra, and I'm binging them like crazy. And I get to mile 9 is where this aid station is. And it is the saddest aid station that I could ever imagine. There was 3 paper plates with animal crackers, PB&J squares, and potato chips. They had water and Gatorade, and that was it. And I kind of look at it and go, thanks, but no thanks, guys. I fill up my water, keep going, running. And we get to another aid station at mile 14, which is wild because that's so close to whatever this final loop is and so close to the last aid station now. So get there again, very sad, keep running. And I finished the first loop and I'm feeling really good, especially since 2 weeks earlier, my physical therapist said, do not run. This injury is wild. Oh yeah, I was injured. This injury is wild. You should not be running on it. But I couldn't let this third race get canceled. So right around mile 15, feeling strong, feeling good, pick up more fuel, fill up my water, and head out. At this point, it is blazing hot out, and you can just feel the swamp and humidity eating away at you. And right around mile 19, I feel something go really wrong in my body. There is some sort of too much shock happening up through my body as I'm running. It almost feels like there's a vibration coming up through my leg. And I take a second to evaluate what's going on. And I realize that I've torn something in my quadricep muscle. And not only that, but something else is throbbing in my calf in the same leg. But what am I going to do? I have to finish. So I keep running and I get to the first aid station at that mile 9, whatever it is at this point. And they say, hey, actually, you're going to have to run back up to about the 13 miles and then lollipop back around. They change the course and get back here. At this point, I have no idea what they're talking about. Like, that is not what the course said. I'm really confused because the math doesn't make sense. And I just have this look of devastation on my face. And they're like, hey, like, it's okay. You'll be able to see us again. It'll be great. I'm so confused. I get to wherever they say that turnaround point is, and there's nothing. Like, there's no sign. There's no one there directing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep going the way I know because that seems to be the best way. And I have no idea what they're talking about. But I'm also seeing no other runners looping back at this point. So I'm really confused. And I'm in so much pain at this point. I'm also listening to the Hunger Games. So I'm like trudging through the woods for survival. And so is Katniss right alongside me. And this old guy comes up to me and he's obviously another runner with the group. And he's walking at my running pace. Like, that is how slow I have gotten because of this pain. Needless to say, I get to the final aid station and I have eaten the best orange that I have ever had in my whole life. I will always remember that orange slice. It was amazing. And I realize I only have a little bit more to go. And at this point, funny side note about running in Florida, I see an alligator and an otter start fighting in a ditch right by me. I thought it was a fever dream. I took a video because it's like, no one's going to believe me. Like, they're going to think this was a pain-induced vision. And I was finally able to limp into the finish line. I was in so much pain. I could barely stand it, but I finished my first 50K, my first trail run, and it was one of the more miserable things I've ever done. I remember thinking during the race, I am doing this so I can better understand how to suffer. And this is so dumb. There are much better ways to do that. Like, I know what suffering is. I don't need to go through this. That's how much pain I was in. But I finished and I love trail running now. I'm fully recovered, which is great. I got to a great physical therapist that gave me a running plan and got me completely rehabilitated. And now I am traveling around the US doing a bunch of trail runs all over and enjoying this podcast. Thanks for letting me be a part of the community.
Ooh, well, CJ, I feel like I've just run a race with you. That was quite an adventure. You are a fun person, and I'm very intrigued by the nomad living in a van life and driving around doing trail runs. That sounds awesome, and at the same time, very, very interesting. But loved your story, and I wrote down a few things. One, I think sometimes when we do these races, and we do a lot of the Tejas Trails races, you take for granted the value of an awesome race director and how important it is to have just a well-run race, well-marked, good aid stations with the Chapa special sometimes. But yeah, it sounds like the race that you went to perhaps did not have as strong as maybe some others. So that really highlighted for me the great work of someone like Chris McWaters with Tejas Trails, how important it is to have a great race director. Two, it also reminded me that humidity sucks. We're in the middle of winter here. We haven't had humid times. Well, we actually did a couple weeks ago here in the Dallas area, but yeah, humidity can be brutal. And then three, how resilient, even though it was your first trail race, how resilient trail runners are. Congratulations, CJ, on fighting through injuries and heat and humidity and poor aid stations and lack of good directions, but you finished anyway. And then the last thing, and this is a good reminder, you never know when you hit an aid station what certain item is just going to bring you amazing joy at that point in time. Sometimes it's an Oreo, sometimes it could be a Pringle, sometimes it's a Chapa special. This time it was an orange. But it seems like for me, I don't know if it's this way for you, that each time it's a different item, just depending on the situation, how you feel, what you're hungry for, but how that small little item at an aid station can bring you delight. Well, I hope you enjoyed that story. Thank you, CJ, for sharing that. We love sharing stories of the Big S runners. If you have a My First Trail Race or a Why I Run you want to share, please reach out. We would love to tell your story here on the Big Ass Runner podcast. Jeff@BigAssRunner.com is how you can get a hold of us. Well, with that, that is part three of our three-part series on Why I Run. Well, one of the things we absolutely love to do is to give shout-outs and kudos to the Big Ass Runners out there just making it happen. If you remember our recap of Bandera, we talked about a runner who came through on her second loop on the 100K. She had fallen, hurt her tailbone, and our friend Nick assessed the situation, said, hey, it's painful but not dangerous, and with the encouragement of her pacer, Maria, Liz Hobart continued on. I found out later that she finished the last 15 miles with a dislocated tailbone. That is some toughness. That is some tenacity. That is some grit. So we just wanted to give a special shout out to Liz. She's on Instagram @Liz_inthewild. Liz, congratulations. Way to go. Big shout out and kudos from the Big Ass Runner to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's timid time.
What is up, Jeff Harrell?
Oh man, what is up? What is not up? That's the question. I can tell. You're rocking over there. And we have Marcy Baser here.
Hi, goodness, how are you all? Here?
I just showed up. I crawled up from underneath the table.
Yeah.
Good times.
That's awesome. We have both Basers here. Marcy's doing a little shoulder shimmy.
Like a little dance going on. I like Timmy Time's music. Mm-hmm.
He's got good music. Mm-hmm. You both have good music.
We thank you for that.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, normally, if you're new to the show, hopefully you've gone back and listened to some Timmy Time episodes. And by the way, the Timmy Time love song commercial rave reviews sell out. It's sold out in minutes.
Can't even get them.
Can't even get them.
You can't get them. No. Taylor Swift thought she sold her stuff out quickly. No. Nothing compared to Timmy Time.
Well, I did hear there's a few copies left that they put up on eBay.
Uh-oh.
Worth thousands.
Worth at
thousands
least.
Of dollars.
Thousands, if not more.
Yeah. Mm.
Thousands, if not more. Well, the reason Timmy Time sings on this shows because number one, he's got the golden voice.
The golden voice.
But also, and we just had this happen because we are fresh.
Sunday night.
A couple weeks ago, we came back from our great Bandera trip where we served at the Chiapas Aid Station. And we listened to music on the way back. It took a turn. Mm-hmm. We were listening. I forget what we were listening to, but I took control of the playlist and I started playing some classic country.
Rocking it.
And it was awesome.
Alabama.
Yeah.
Some Sylvia. Shenandoah.
We discovered Sylvia.
Yes.
Long lost hit.
I think it's a rediscover.
We rediscovered. Exactly right. So yeah,
just
we had a good
those
time.
Those trips so much better driving home.
That and the powdered donuts.
Oh, the powdered donuts always a hit. And we actually hit. I shouldn't say this out loud on the air, but the Taco Bell.
Oh yeah,
we hit the Taco Bell.
Expensive.
Yeah.
What's happened at Taco Bell where it's expensive now? You used to be able to buy a whole sack of Taco Bell food like $4.
Did you look to the right? The right of the menu. That's the dollar menu items.
I think it was even, I didn't see it.
No.
I think
that lady was hiding it.
You have to know. Like, I know.
Okay.
I had two items.
Go in and tell them what I need.
And a water, $7.
Maybe they got rid of it, you know, now that all the food prices went up. Yeah. Maybe they got rid of the dollar menu.
Maybe did. I didn't see it. I had three items and a soda, and it was $12.
It's ridiculous.
Can you at Taco Bell? That's the only reason you go to Taco Bell is for the free food.
You can't afford anything.
Marcy and I's first date was at Taco Bell.
Look how that turned out.
He knows how to treat a lady.
$1.78 fed both of us.
Like, do you want to go to like a sit down restaurant or? It's like, or what? I mean, what are the options? He's like, you know, you walk up and order. I'm like, I guess I like Taco Bell.
I had all the moves.
Yeah,
man.
He did. Man, I think I had to pay too.
Oh my god!
I had no money.
I got no money. But you had that sweet G.
I did have a sweet G. I had to make that payment.
You didn't even have the flow back then.
No,
short hair.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. You've come a long way.
He really has.
That was almost 20 years ago.
Put a lot of work into
Tim. I was going to say, you've domesticated him. You've improved him.
Thank you.
Yep. Hey, FYI, we're about to have our 19th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
I know. Yep.
What's the date on that? Uh-oh.
18th.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
January.
I would say that Timmy Time was the one that hesitated, but they both did.
Well, there's a story to that.
We might need to hear that.
He and I think this was maybe, I don't know, the first year, second year, third. I don't even know what year it was we were married, and we both had our anniversary date wrong.
The 19th.
I thought it was the 16th.
Oh, my.
And he swore it was the 19th. Yeah. And it turns out, neither. We had to go
my
look
sister.
It up at our marriage license and figure it out.
And then my sister knew it.
It was the 18th?
It was the 18th. Yeah. So ever since then, we're both kind of like,
mid-January.
Somewhere in January, we celebrate our anniversary. We re-up and renegotiate the contract.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Every year. It's a one-year contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's like a year-to-year. Like
pretty much.
NBA.
Okay. Pretty much.
And this was post Dyson vacuum cleaner.
No, that came year one.
But I mean, yeah, because you said 3 years into it.
That's when I realized we are going to need a negotiated contract every year.
That's a good vacuum.
Oh, my God.
Excellent vacuum. There is no doubt about that. That was not the point, Tim.
Well, if you've listened to this segment before, you know that usually when Steven is here, you know, Steven was born in a bubble, apparently. He knows no music. Because we'd go on these road trips and Timmy Time would be singing our little hearts out and Steven would have a big question mark over his head. Like, what are y'all doing? This is crazy. And so we started having, you know, we wanted to bring Steven along. We wanted him to learn.
Yes.
So Timmy Time would sing songs and then Steven would guess. Well, with Marcy here, we're going to have a little different spin on this.
Oh, how exciting.
And the thing that I hear the feedback about Timmy Time is people like as they're running, you know, and listening to the show or commuting or vacuuming or whatever you're doing while you're listening to the show, you like to play along.
Ah,
like to play along.
Yes.
So we have a little different spin. Instead of our normal songs, I guess they're never quite really normal.
No, not when I'm singing them.
Nothing normal.
You're welcome, America.
Yes. And Latvia.
Latvia.
Don't leave the Latvians out.
Europe, Asia, everywhere.
Hey, by the way, I mentioned this in an early episode. Our number one city now that listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
is Brisbane, Australia.
Seriously?
Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Is that where Graham's from?
It might be.
Yeah, maybe Graham made us big down there. Yeah.
Maybe so.
Down under.
So shout out to the Brisbane folks out there.
Hey, yes. Guys.
Thanks for listening so much. Okay, so what we're doing today is Timmy Time's going to sing a song from a TV show.
Mm-hmm. I like TV.
I'm going to set up the TV show, and then Marcy, you're going to guess. Now, okay. These are not super hard, but
unless you're Stephen Pritt.
Unless you're Stephen
Pritt. If he didn't get to listen to music, he probably didn't get much TV.
Well, and that's
either.
What we noticed. Is
I'm going to go ahead and...
He doesn't know music, but he knows movies and TV shows. So I think he would do well in this.
You know
how
mad he is when he's listening to this right now, when he's answering all of them.
Well, that's why we did it. We wanted to build his self-esteem a little bit. And, so we'll do it.
Eat your heart out, Stephen Pritt.
All right. Well, this first one is an American sitcom TV show. It ran on NBC from September 30th. Very specific. Mm-hmm. 1982 until 1993.
Oh, it was a long running.
275 half-hour episodes across 11 seasons, that would be plural, Jeff. And it was a critically acclaimed in its first season, though it landed at a disappointing 74th out of 77 shows in that year's ratings. This critical support, however, and the early success at the Primetime Emmy Awards and the support of NBC's president, Brandon Tartikoff. I think we had some of those for breakfast the other day. Yep.
Love the Pop-Tarts.
Yep.
They seem to be the main reason that the show survived after season one and eventually became the hit that we all know it to be now. So with that, Timmy Time, do you want to sing your little heart out, the theme song from this particular TV show.
TV show theme song number one. Making your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can't see. Our troubles are all the same. And you want to be where everybody knows your name.
Nicely done, Timmy Time. I felt like we hit play on the real song.
Yeah.
I feel a little warm. I feel a little reclaimed. I don't know if you know, but Tim's crooning is, you know.
It's legendary, first of all.
Well, it's a bit of an aphrodisiac for me, so.
Sometimes I just sing.
Yeah.
He does. He just sings. I just stare with my eyes and wonder and love.
So any idea what that show might be?
It sounds pretty familiar. I'm going to say maybe it's Sam and Diane on Cheers.
Oh, nicely done. Ooh. Nicely done.
Nice job, Emily.
Loved that show. It was awesome.
Good show. Oh, wait a minute. That's what I wanted to play.
Love the canned laughter they used to have on all the shows. Yeah,
that's why I played that. It's like, hey, Sam, whatever joke.
I think they're laughing at my singing.
No, no one does that.
Oh, I think a lot of people do.
No.
But I'm okay with that.
Fewer than you think. All right. So that is correct, Marcy. Cheers.
Thank you.
That it went on to be obviously a very successful show for NBC. And I was reading up on this. You know, the original character, Coach, passed away early on in the show. And so they had to figure out what to do. And that's when Woody Harrelson came in.
Yeah.
I think it was season four. I think at the end of season three is when the actor that played Coach passed away.
And, what was Woody's name in that?
Buddy.
The elf.
It wasn't Buddy. That was a good guess. And you looked super serious.
What was it?
Do you remember?
I think it was Woody.
Was it Woody?
It was Woody.
Yeah.
His name was Woody in it.
Well,
That's right.
It is a trick question.
And I could be way wrong on that.
No, I think it's right.
I don't know there's any way to really find that out.
There's no way to know. Unless you go to the library and look it up in an encyclopedia, there's no way you'll ever find
out. That's right, on the microfiche.
Yeah, fiche.
All right. That's one for one, Marcy. You're doing way better than Stephen's ever done.
I'm going to kill it.
You're going to kill it. All right. The second show is an American sitcom. That sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the Latvians out there. I could not find a Latvian sitcom.
I'm telling you, you'd throw me if you did. I wouldn't get that one.
It's a TV series that was broadcast on CBS from January 18th, 1975.
Ooh, that's the year I was born. I was zero.
You were zero to July 2nd, 1985, lasting 11 seasons. Again, 11 seasons, 253 episodes. It is one of the longest running sitcoms in history and the second longest running series with a primarily African-American cast. There's a hint.
Mm-hmm.
And by episode count, surpassed by only one other show called Tyler Perry's House of Pain. I'm not that familiar with that one.
Mm-hmm.
And the first to prominently feature a married interracial couple. Mm-hmm. Really cool. Breaking some boundaries there. Love it. It received Emmy Award nominations during its time on the air. You ready, Timmy time?
Here we go. I am ready.
He's ready to hit it.
TV theme song number two. Well, we're moving on up to the east side to a deluxe apartment in the sky. Well, we're moving on up to the east side. We finally got a piece of the pie. Fish don't burn in the kitchen, and beans don't burn on the grill. Took a whole lot of trying just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big leagues, getting our turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that, because we're moving on up.
Moving on up.
The end.
Nicely done.
Do you like how I changed it up? Try to throw her off?
You did. You did. I don't think she has any clue what that was.
You know, I was trying to guess it before the songs, you know, like before you actually sang it.
Yeah, that's part of the game.
Yeah, but I was totally off. And then when you hit it, I was like, oh, yeah, it's the Jeffersons, baby.
Nicely done.
Okay, so quick question.
Yeah.
Who were the interracial couple? What were their names?
Man, I can't. You know, I'd never remember hardly the guy's ever. Name. What is it?
Oh, Tom. I thought I was talking about Wheezy. That's the name. Wheezy. I love Wheezy.
No, the neighbor's
awesome.
Yeah, the neighbor. That's
Thomas.
Right.
Okay.
And I don't know the other one.
All I know is Wheezy.
So if anybody out there knows the name.
Once again, there's no way we'll ever find
out. We could never find out. Tim.
You know what? We should go to the library after this.
Can I call a friend?
No.
Phone a friend.
They wouldn't know because they don't have microfiche.
There's no.
All right. Awesome job. Two for two. We are on a roll. This next show is an American TV sitcom.
Shocking.
Shocking. It's a series that played for 8 seasons on ABC from January 27th, 1976. You were 1 year old, Timmy time, until May 10th of 1983. This was a spinoff of another show and followed the lives of friends who worked in the manufacturing industry. It debuted in the 1975-76 season, with its first episode airing in 1976. And by its third season, it had become the most watched American television program, according to Nielsen. Then in August of 79, before the start of its fifth season, it was moved to Thursdays. And by the end of that season, its ratings had fallen so sharply that they talked about canceling the show. But they moved it back, and they found the success that they had missed. And in 1983, the series finally came to an end, number 25 for that season. That's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information.
That was a lot.
Did you follow all that?
I did.
I'm just trying to figure out the melody of this one.
Oh, you got it, Timmy time. Timmy time with that. Let's get going on this number three.
All right. TV show theme song. Number three. There is nothing we won't try. Never heard the word impossible. This time there's no stopping us. We're gonna make our dreams come true.
Doing it our way.
On your mark, get set, and go now. Got a dream and we just know now. We're gonna make our dream come true.
And we'll do it our way.
Yes, our way. Making our dreams come true. And we'll do it our way. Yes, our way. Making our dreams
come true for me and you.
I really wish you had the beginning of that song on there for him.
Shamil.
What are they saying? Shamazel. Shamil. What are they saying? Is it Shamil Shamazel?
Someone out there knows. If you know that, Jeff at BigAssRunner.com.
Once again, because we can't find out.
We could never find out what that means.
Shlamil, Shlamazel. It must be a Jewish thing. I don't know. That sounds like Hebrew words.
It could be.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, hey, yes. Nicely done. And what was the spinoff? What show did it spin off from?
Happy Days.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Happy Days. Nicely done.
Yeah, a lot of TV. That's all I did. All I did. I didn't have a lot of friends.
I just studied.
Yeah. I figured.
Tim just worked with his voice coach.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. You know, we're doing six of these, and I thought six for six. So far, 100%.
Bam.
Fantastic. All right, you ready for number four? This show was, guess what? An American television sitcom.
Who would have thunk it?
I know. And it aired from September 22 of 1994 until May 6th of 2004, lasting 10 seasons. It received acclaim through its run, becoming one of the most popular TV shows of all time.
Oh.
Nominated for 62 Primetime Emmy Awards. Winning Outstanding Comedy Series, and it was ranked 21 on TV Guide's 50 Greatest TV Shows of All
Time. What number?
Time. 21 on TV Guide's 50 Greatest. This is TV shows, not just comedies.
TV shows of all time.
Ladies and gentlemen, Timmy Time, we are ready.
TV theme song, number four. So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke, your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you, even when your year is gone.
I'll be there for you.
Like I've been there before.
I'll be there for you.
Cause you're there for me too.
Yes,
gosh,
Timmy Time.
So good.
Ooh, kind of messed up that
good.
One.
Well, I
hope you can still
so
get
good.
It.
Yeah. I mean, can
hope
I?
Hope you can still get
can
it.
Can I have a hint?
It's no.
No, I actually had the Jennifer Aniston haircut in college, and my father did it to me with a Flowbee.
No way.
Oh, yeah. People were like, man, I love your hair, because it was so popular back then.
Yeah.
Like, where did you get your hair? And I was like, my dad, too, can cut your hair at his garage
with
a
Flowbee.
With a Flowbee.
This is for real, people. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Friends.
Yes. Yay! 4 for 4. Crushing it.
I try to make it harder
by singing not being it off in tune. Key.
It's totally on purpose. Totally on purpose.
This one I think is going to be tough for you to get.
Really?
Yeah, the next two are not as
these
obvious.
These aren't lobbed up to me.
Not as obvious. And now you know what? I think she's going to get them though. She's going to get them.
Like
all right.
I said, not a lot of friends, a lot of time with the TV.
Number 5.
Well, it's not Friends.
You already said Friends.
I don't have friends, therefore I watch TV.
All right. Well, this American TV sitcom was originally aired by NBC in August 24th of 1979 until May 7th of 1988, making it one of the longest running sitcoms of the 80s. It was originally not a ratings winner on Friday nights as its summer debut in 79 or in its second tryout in the spring of 80. In fact, it ranked 74th out of 79 shows, and Nielsen ratings was NBC's lowest rated series. Whoa, not doing so well. It was put on hiatus and extensively retooled in preparation for season 2. In 1980, season 2 launched and it immediately flourished, peaking in January of 1981 with a 27.4 rating. Oh my goodness, and a 41 share.
Ooh.
It ranked number four for the week, and it became the fourth highest rated scripted series after, check this out, Little House on the Prairie, Different Strokes, and Chips.
Oh.
Ooh, Chips.
Yes. Oh, with that, any ideas, Marcy?
I am clueless.
This is going to be a tough one.
Okay.
Here we
TV theme shows, number 5. You ready?
I think so.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life. There's a time you gotta go and show you're growing. Now you know about the facts of life. Yeah, the facts of life. When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams, and suddenly you're finding out the facts of life are all about you. That's it.
Thank you. That was...
Well done, Timmy Time. I think that's going to be tough on the guests.
That super was tough. My favorite show
what?
Growing
oh,
up.
Oh, was it really?
It was, and I wanted to be Joe. I thought she was so cool.
Okay, that... I have a trivia question.
Okay.
There's 3 characters that were on every single year that it aired. Can you name the 3 characters or actresses that were on every single season?
Tootie was one of them.
And what was her real name?
Oh, I don't know the real name.
Kim Fields?
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah. I do know that name.
Yeah.
Joe?
Nope.
She came in late.
She came season 2. She was part of the retooling.
Mm-hmm. Well, she made the show. Blair.
Yes, she was the whole time.
And then Natalie.
Yes.
What about the old lady?
Nope.
Mrs. Garrett.
Yeah. She left.
You did know that show.
I love that. It was truly my favorite show.
She was not on the last season, or I think the season before that, only part time. No, I don't think so.
They brought in a new.
What was Blair's real name, or is Blair's?
Linda Blair.
I do know that, but I can't think of it.
Lisa Welchel?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Just Welch. The E is silent.
Lisa Welchel. Welchel. No, it's not. Lisa, it's Welchel. It's E-L.
That's like calling a bagel a bag.
A bag.
It's exactly. A Welchel.
He is
nice
silent.
Job, Timmy Time. Well, you got it right. Nice job. Facts of life. 5 for 5.
Okay. I think maybe you should hit the British and maybe I won't get it. Unless it's Abby.
This next one's tough.
The next one might be a little tough. It's a little bit older. It was probably on before you were born. I'm not sure.
Well, that doesn't matter. Remember, reruns, sitting at home, yes, alone, good
point.
Watching TV.
Alone. Good point. Alone. Well, this show enjoyed early rating success in its first 2 seasons, spawning a host of merchandising tie-ins, including lunchboxes, dolls, trading cards, comic books, novels, and even a board game.
Ooh.
Its first season was controversial.
Controversial.
Mm-hmm. I already know it.
Boston, the local ABC affiliate, initially refused to air the show. The city was going through a tumultuous school busing program that involved widespread protests and riots, and the local affiliate felt that this classroom environment would exacerbate the situation. The show became an early rating success, however, and the affiliate relented, picking it up for its 5th episode.
Mm.
A lot of intrigue.
I have gone through 3 or 4 different shows in my mind.
Yeah. You want to hear a funny story, though? Just quinky-dink?
Yeah.
Me and my trainer at the office, we're talking about this show today.
No way.
Yep. Impossible. During the workout.
Impossible. Nope, we were. Timmy Time, number 6.
Okay. Sorry, ladies and gents. This is the last theme song, number 6. Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya? Who'd have thought they'd lead ya? Back where we need ya?
Back where we need ya?
Yeah, we tease them a lot because we got them on the spot. Welcome back.
Woo, Timmy Time. I think you saved the best for last.
Yeah, saved the best for last.
That was awesome. I really feel like you brought it.
Yeah, I tried to sing
that one. This is what he does at home when we're alone. And this is... Yeah, we're going to have to leave after
this,
I'm
feeling
this, Jeff.
Awkward right now, being the third person.
Close your room. Eyes, Jeff.
And especially when you talk about Vinnie Barbarino.
No doubt. Ooh.
Yeah. Welcome back, Carter,
Yay.
Baby.
Yeah. 6 for 6.
Well, what did you say the name of the show was called?
Welcome Back, Kata.
Oh, Kata.
Mr. Kata.
Mr. Kata. That's what we were talking about. He was the...
Epstein.
With the...
Vinnie Barbarino.
With the afro.
That was Epstein.
Oh.
Yeah, he was awesome.
We were talking about him today. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
That is odd.
Ka-winky-dink.
Like, what are the odds of talking about that show?
Because he said one of the guys out in the office looked like Epstein.
I'm sure that was a compliment.
And of
course,
know
what? Long hair is not great on everybody.
But, you know, I think while John Travolta was known for this show, he became more well-known as being in the Timmy Time Love Song CD.
Yes.
That's where he caught his big break.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this Grease show or even Urban Cowboy.
Oh, my goodness.
Sissy.
Or, yeah, it was the Timmy Time Love Song CD where he really
fell.
So John Travolta has had a good career. So he started there.
Sure.
And then he did some movies. And then he went dormant.
Yeah.
Did like 3 minutes
until
of baby,
Pulp Fiction.
And then Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he did some other good movies. And then he came back now because of our CD.
Yeah.
Of our who?
The CD we just created.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You're welcome, John Travolta.
Like, yeah. Our CD.
So Johnny Boy, you're welcome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, his cameo on your CD really brought him.
I can't believe he did it.
He's a piggybacker for sure.
I really appreciated him coming along.
Yeah,
and
if anybody knows him, please send this to him.
Yeah. He'll love to hear it, I'm sure. Well done, Timmy Times.
Good
Marcy.
Job, MB.
6 for 6, Marcy. Great job. I feel like I should play Marcy's theme song.
Yeah, I think so, too.
You think I should? With that, it's Timmy Time and Marcy Beza.
Yeah. You guys know I'll have a good self-esteem because I sing on this song. So.
Nice. Well, believe it or not, that is the end of episode number 78 of The Big Ass Runner. Big thanks to everyone who participated in this show, to Ohm and CJ for sharing your Why I Run and your first trail race. Big shout out and kudos to Liz for gutting it out and finishing the Bandera 100K. And of course, to Timmy Time and special guest Marcy Baser for that amazing rendition of famous TV shows from the 80s, it seemed like, maybe some of the 90s, I don't even know. Hey, if you want the best running apparel that there is, pathprojects.com is amazing, and the Killam pants are back in stock in dark gray. They're probably going quickly. I think the XL may be already sold out, but check it out, pathprojects.com. They've got the best gear. I saw tons of it out in Bandera. I'm actually running in it this weekend down in Tyler. Pathprojects.com. Also, we love Salty Britches for chafing cream. Go to getsaltybritches.com and use Big Ass Runner to get 20% discount. When Mike Cabrero ran the 100K in Bandera, he used Salty Britches. In fact, I think, Mike, you're the one that told us about it to begin with. No blisters on his feet for 100K. Zero blisters in some kind of humid, soggy conditions. It is the best chafing ointment out there. And then finally, Vander Jacket. If you need a running jacket or running vest, they are the best. They are unique. They are cool. VanderJacket.com. Well, thanks again for joining the show. And big shout out, as always, to the person that makes us sound so good, Steve Silver Dollar Saunders. Well, thanks again for listening. Get out there, hit those trails, and keep running your asses off. Is a lunar rainbow, exactly what you would think it would be. And apparently you're right. You're zero to July 2nd. This classroom environment would cause or exacerbate. Well, with that, keep hitting those trails. That's for the blooper reel, Steve. Well, with that.
Hey, why can't we use the same toothbrush, but we can use the same soap?
Because soap is soap. It's self-cleaning.
All right, well, next time you take a shower, think about the last thing I wash and the first thing you wash.
Do 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 do.